ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the 8-Bit Geek proudly brings to you its self-proclaimed best of the best wrestling podcast to the world, the Pod Dog Kevin WK, the Sad Ass Michael Reed, your 8-Bit Outlaws.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another spooktacular edition of Divas Dropkicks and Dives, brought to you by 8-Bit Horror Fest. I am your host, Michael Reed, and as always, with me today is a man who, whether in space or on this planet, you can't hear him scream anyways.
I'm Kevin, probably because I don't have a voice right now, but I'm here. Yay!
It's convenient timing based on the movie that we're reviewing that your voice is so fucked up.
This movie scared me so much that I lost my voice.
Did you wake up on a table with a crab-like thing laying next to a dead?
I ordered the soup, and then all of a sudden, a xenomorph popped out of my chest.
Oh, that's not good news, sir.
And it did like Spaceball style, the hello, my baby, hello, my honey.
You know, that would be the least likely version I would be afraid of. But yeah.
Oh man. When I was a kid, that was actually my first aliens experience, or alien was that scene from Spaceballs.
Really?
And then I saw actual alien, yeah.
I'm jealous. We'll get into mine here in a second. So for those of you who are looking at your podcast device, like, wait a minute, this isn't Doug and Jer and Kevin that I'm used to listening to. You're asking yourself what's going on. Kevin and I host a wrestling podcast on the 8-Bit Geek Network. And
yeah,
as part of 8-Bit Horror Fest going on this month, we are throwing in a movie review. So as mentioned on the other podcast, the theme for this month is Origins. So we are starting with the first or the original creation of certain horror characters, tropes, genres, whatever you name it. It's the start.
Badass heroines.
Yeah. So me not being a horror movie buff, but being a big sci-fi buff, I basically got approval to do some sci-fi horror movies. And Kevin and I are doing one here that's going to be this one that'll be on the 8-Bit Geek stream. And then we're going to do another one that'll be on the Divas Dropkicks and Dives stream.
Yes.
So our movies, because of that, our movies correlate, so I highly recommend after you get done listening to this one, hop over onto our channel and listen to ours, because they're both going to play together.
Yes.
And so based on the thumbnail or title of this episode, you have obviously or hopefully figured out, we're going to be talking about Ridley Scott's Alien. Now, you may be asking yourself, why did we give one of the greatest sci-fi horror movies to the wrestling guys? And there's a reason for that. That is because I myself, unfortunately, have a deeply irrational, uncomfortable psychological fear of xenomorphs. And everybody else in the 8-Bit Geek loves to make fun of me about it. So now you get to join in on the fun.
Among other things.
And laugh at me hysterically for being afraid of these things. And it's just like people have a fear of spiders or clowns or sharks or Donald Trump. I just have this. There's just something about xenomorphs. It just, you know, Kevin, you just talked about your first introduction being the Spaceballs reference.
Right.
Mine, not to get too deep into the woods here, but when I was a kid, my dad liked to go to garage sale every Saturday morning, so we'd go on these long drives through neighborhoods looking for garage sales and shit. So okay, me and my sister would have to entertain ourselves, you know, on for these mornings. So usually we grab books. I, being a dingus, grabbed my dad's novel copy of Alien and decided to read it one morning, and I was probably 9-10 years old doing this.
Yeah,
but I was big into sci-fi and I thought it was a sci-fi book, so I jumped in. So reading through that just traumatized me for the rest of my life. And then of course that same night, because my dad saw me grab the copy of Alien, decided he wanted to show me the movie Aliens. So like, it was just, it all got hit at me at once. It was fucked up. So I just get super nervous and like uncomfortable and queasy around xenomorphs, so that's why we're here.
Understandable. I mean, they are pretty creepy. It's not like you can stab them or anything like that, because then you'll just get acid, all of you.
Well, and that's everybody's first thing. It's like, well, you know they're fake, right? Which, when you're talking to a guy who watches wrestling each week, duh.
Yeah, yeah, but exactly.
It's like, yes, I know they're fake, but, you know, there are people in outfits, there are paintings, and so in some weird reference, they are real, because somebody has created a thing with them on it. But yes, I know at least I'm 90% certain they don't exactly exist in this universe. Giger may have been inspired from personal experience, who knows. that guy was weird. So that explains why we are doing the Alien review, and of course it is part of 8-Bit Horror Fest going on all month long. So, you know, make sure to check out the 8-Bit Geek. Check out Diva's Dropkicks and Dives, Brainberry Tarts. I don't know. Is 8-Bit Saga doing anything?
Yes, they are doing a Halloween one-off.
Well,
yes.
There you go. So, yeah. The entire 8-Bit Geek Network is doing something for 8-Bit Horror Fest. So definitely check out the shows. We've got the limited edition t-shirt that you can find through the 8-Bit Geek store. So it's a pretty dope shirt. Limited edition. You only get it during Horror Fest. After Horror Fest is over, the shirt's gone. You'll never get it again. Except in some deep black market, marketplace of some sort. They're super valuable. So get it now while it's cheap.
On the dark web.
Yeah. while you're trying to buy like 2,000 kilos of heroin, you can also buy an 8-Bit Geek Horror Fest shirt.
Just, we'll take bitcoins.
Sure. Or the, I just read the other day, Burger King in Russia is trying to come up with like Whopper Bucks.
Oh no.
It's like their own cryptocurrency. But we're getting sidetracked here. Yeah. So, okay. So Ridley Scott's Alien, for those who don't know, released on June 22nd of 1979. Mm-hmm. I bring that up because I was married on June 22nd, 2002. So I share an anniversary with this movie. I don't know where to start. We'll just kind of dive in. I had a weird epiphany watching this movie yesterday, and what I came to realize is I don't think Ridley Scott's a good director.
No, I wholeheartedly agree. Okay. And we know this because of the recent Alien movies, basically whatever. Well, I forgot what the first one was called, but then Alien Covenant.
Well, yeah, this, we're going to get into that in a little bit.
But yeah, they suck.
This one was so well beloved that it started its own, just practically a genre.
But it, I mean, started a universe, yes. For like, you know, with the Weyland-Yutani, with the brand and everything like that. I mean, it's beloved. However, this is not my favorite Alien movie.
No, it's not. And I've always preferred Aliens, which I think 90% of people seem to.
Yeah.
I guess the thing is I came to this movie later than when it came out. And like I said, it came out in 1979, which is just 2 years removed from the original Star Wars coming out. So right. It definitely was, what's the word?
It was great for its time.
Yeah, it was great for its time. It was definitely, it was unique. It started like a whole new trend of like sci-fi horror movies. Because up to that point, they'd all been pretty campy, super... like low budget, super bad looking. And this was not that at all. So I will give it that.
I think this kind of like paved the road for The Thing too. The remake of The Thing that was John Carpenter. Mm-hmm. Cause I think that came out in 80, I believe. And so, that had a same kind of feel of this kind of isolation. You know?
So I will give it that. But I think as a movie itself, it's starting to show its age.
82 is when The Thing came out.
Okay. So that makes sense. Yeah, I compare him at this point to George Lucas. Like, I think he makes gorgeous looking movies. Cause I'm also in the minority. I don't like Blade Runner either. I think Blade Runner is a bad movie. But
Blade Runner was great, but it's kind of boring. It's a slow paced movie.
Yeah, but it's gorgeous. Like the set design and everything is amazing. Same thing here on Alien. Like that lived in rustic, like old used spaceship look, which. That wasn't what the norm was when this movie came out, and like now we see him everywhere. But like that's a cool look. The movie still looks good. It just, as a movie itself, is not. It's not great. I think some of the dialogue's pretty rough, and some of the logic plot holes just don't make a lot of sense. But
Yeah, I agree.
So that's, I think it's kind of like you just said, a lot of his movies are slow and boring, and this, you know, was that way because it's supposed to kind of ratchet up the fear factor, and I kind of get that, right. But at the same time, I don't know, like it could have been a real unique cast of characters in this movie, and I just don't think they got enough time to, other than like obviously Ripley, she's, you know, Sigourney Weaver has kind of set the trend for female action heroes and just female leads and in general, just being a badass and not, you know, just kind of standing on her own 2 feet. But other than her and maybe Ash a little bit, the rest of the characters are very throwaway. And I guess maybe that's what the point was for a horror flick, but
yeah,
for a movie that's, you know, I did watch the director's cut, which adds a little bit more, you know, but I thought that makes the movie make more sense than it did beforehand. So
yeah, but think about all the people that went to go see it in the theater in 79, right, or whatever, you know.
But I mean, that, I think what made the movie so amazing was A, the look, was B, the gore factor at the time.
Yeah, there was a lot of gore.
They did say they were inspired by Texas Chainsaw Massacre,
mm-hmm.
Which I think is where some of the bad camera editing and camera cuts come from.
Thanks. Rest in peace, Toby Hooper.
Yeah, who recently passed away. So yeah, and the alien design, I think that the alien is still very, it's horrific for me. It's traumatizing, but I mean, it's a very cool design. It's a very cool look. H.R. Giger's artwork is just unsettling to say the least. So for his alien creation, I mean, it's fucking scary.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm just going back. This was the first time I kind of had a hard time watching the movie just because, I don't know. It's been a couple years since I watched it, and I think especially after Prometheus, and I haven't seen Alien Covenant yet. I want to because I love this universe, but I haven't yet. But again, I've not heard great things about it. But I think the only really Scott movie I like is Gladiator, and I guess, I mean, that was, you know, ancient Roman times or whatever, so dialogue's not a huge deal back then. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know why. I need to go back and watch that. I may think that sucks too, and then I don't have a Ridley Scott movie that I enjoy. So yeah, that was kind of disappointing to go back and just kind of have that realization. But I'm glad you agreed, because I really thought I was alone in thinking that Ridley Scott's not great.
Yeah, I know. No, I don't think he's a great director, especially once again compared to what he's done versus what like Cameron's done. If we're going to compare like alien movies, like he set it up well, but other directors have done better at his own stuff than he has. And we see this, and it sucks because we'll never see a Neil Blomkamp Aliens film that seemed to be really genuine.
Yeah.
And we're never going to see it because of them wanting to put Covenant out there and them wanting to do other like just shitty versions of Aliens that are not going to be nearly as successful.
Yeah. And I was really stoked for his treatment, because his was basically going to take off of Aliens as if like the rest of the movies afterward didn't exist.
Right. So 3 and 4 didn't exist at this point. It would have made it like Sigourney Weaver would have returned. Also, Michael Biehn would have returned as, you know, her interest. The other space marines, that survived, you know, would have returned.
Well, I think that was it. It would have been them. And I don't know if they ever talked about Newt.
Yeah, Newt. But I mean, they're all still around. I mean, they're all still doing a pretty good job of being alive. So sure. And in pretty good shape. I mean, we saw them a couple of years ago at Comicpalooza. And I mean, it would have been amazing to see them do this film.
Yeah. So, but sadly, I think Ridley Scott kind of elbowed his way back into this and is like, no, I'm going to do them. And they've been bad.
Yeah.
They've been really, I guess they're not bad movies. They're pretty to look at. Just kind of like this one. It's a very pretty movie, but man, they're
but compared to the others, it needed work.
Mm-hmm. And I think this one just, I'm not going to say gets a pass because it's the first one. Like it set the tone, and it laid the groundwork. And it is a good horror flick, especially for being as long as the movie is. The Xenomorph and Facehugger are only on the screen for a total of like 4 minutes.
Oh yeah. It's more of a psychological. Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's
when they are on screen, it's awesome. like the facehugger scene where they were trying to remove the facehugger, and that's when they realized that the blood was acid.
Yeah.
When they sliced at it. It was awesome. Like, it was cool to see that stuff. But once again, it was for its time, it was worth it. But I think Aliens really stepped up their game.
Yeah.
Just by making it, they kind of made it the bro fuck yeah kind of film, because it's got the space marines being all like badasses in it.
Yeah,
but it's got more action against the xenomorphs, and there's way more xenomorphs, including the alien queen.
Well, and if when you hit up like IMDb and you look into kind of the history of the production of Alien and like the writing process, because like Dan O'Bannon and Ronald Shusett wrote the script, and like it's weird. One of the things I applaud them for was that in their script, all the characters in Alien were asexual. Like, they didn't have a preference to which gender the character was. So I think there was initially Ripley was kind of they wanted a female lead. But other than that, everybody else was kind of wide open.
Yeah.
That was imperative for them to just create a different kind of movie. And I applaud that. It's also weird because the Giger's art, and I guess kind of for the times, there's some weird like sexual tension and undertones and stuff throughout the movie that are kind of odd. Like the whole idea that the face hugger shoving something down your throat and impregnating you, like they intentionally did that. They intentionally made it a male character that suffered that. And that's interesting. I'm not criticizing that, but it's just the weird sexual stuff throughout the whole movie is just
the androgynous
odd.
70s.
Yeah. So that's just something that hasn't aged well. It was fine for the time, but going back and watching it almost 40 years later, you're just like, it's kind of gross.
Yeah.
It just, I don't know. Like, something I didn't think about, but as I was reading, was they were talking about how, you know, up to, or when you're introduced to the movie, you just think the alien's kind of like this mindless killer that's just trying to survive. Mm-hmm. But like the way it was written in the script, it was more of a sadist. Like it was really hunting and murdering them with thought, with malice. It was trying to do the just brutal stuff. So some of the deaths are, I don't know. Like I think the one that strikes out to most of me is like Lambert. How like she's like in the script, she was supposed to die of fright. Like she was just supposed to scare herself to death. But like the shot they use of the tail going up like behind her, like that's weird. Cause that wasn't even meant for her. That was meant for Brett.
Okay.
Like that was meant to be part of Brett's death, but they moved it down to Lambert's. But some people implied that like that was some sort of sexual assault, that the alien killed her that way, and I'm just like, man, that's, once you start getting into that psychological shit, like I think the movie just goes off the rails.
Yeah,
if you just take it as straight, like this, you know, as Ash puts it, like it's the perfect organism, it's a killer. Like I like that thought process more so than it being this, you know, I don't know,
just mindless like killing machine.
Sure. Like I prefer that rather than the weird like S&M type killer or something. So
that xenomorph is kinky.
Overall, I'm assuming everybody that's listening to this has watched this movie. You really should watch it. It's a great, great, it's an amazing universe. I just wish somebody could really do some good with it, because I don't think Ridley Scott has an idea of what makes this universe so neat. I think he's just trying to make his mark on it. And people are like, okay, we already get it, Ridley. Like we know you've made your point. Now let us make a good Alien movie.
Right. And we don't need an origin story. I mean, that's what the last two movies have been, is just shitty origin stories that made no sense. It was 2.5 hours each way of just fucking bullshit and like foot dragging.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's kind of interesting, you know, because that was the weird thing about Alien, was they're just kind of there. And, like, you see the space jockey, and there's really no explanation for any of this shit.
But it just makes sense that it's like, okay, cool. Well, you're on an alien planet, or you've been to an alien planet. You're going to get aliens. We don't need the exact origin of aliens.
The whole, like, religious subsect and all that. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Like, we don't need any of that stuff, dude.
Yeah. In a weird way, like, I was excited for the premise of Alien versus Predator.
Mm-hmm. The comic books are great.
Yeah, the comic books were dope.
The video game, the arcade was awesome.
But yeah, giving it to the same guy that's done 13 Resident Evil movies was not the smartest.
Yeah, Paul fucking WTF Anderson.
Exactly. And that's the hardest part, is because now these prequels are starting to kind of sullying the waters of the original, but they're starting to, because Ridley Scott's trying to force you into that filter, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking it. Prometheus and from what I hear of Alien Covenant are super disappointing. But honestly, after Aliens, they've just gotten worse.
Aliens 3 was not very good. Aliens 4 was even worse.
There's a whole lot of history to the production of that movie. I mean, that's not entirely Fincher's fault.
Well, yeah, especially because they didn't bring Michael Biehn back, and they just kind of mysteriously killed his character.
Yeah.
Same with. What's her name? The little girl.
Yeah, played Newt. Yes, that was something where he had a vision for that film, and the studio stepped in and kind of took away his vision. So
yeah,
he just did kind of a mishmash of what he wanted to do but what they wanted to do. Which is weird, because like this movie, the studio was all behind it. They doubled Ridley Scott's budget from $4 million to $8 million just based on his storyboards. Like what he wanted to do. So he got to make an even bigger movie than he initially anticipated.
Right.
So yeah, it's so weird that this movie, I think he made the perfect horror version of this. James Cameron made the perfect action version of this. Mm-hmm. And there's nowhere else to go but down. Like they've tried every other way. So
I think Neil Blomkamp would have did a fantastic job.
I agree. I think his would have been a more grounded take on it. Like I love District 9,
right?
And I think what he does really well is he grounds things in reality, and that would have been cool to see his realistic interpretation of Alien. Like that could have been a unique, legit Alien 3.
Yeah,
you know,
and I think he would have been great with it. I mean, and he was a fan of the Alien series, unlike you know other people. It's just like he would have brought. I think he would have got what a lot of the fans got from it, and he would have been able to deliver something into the table completely unique from Ridley Scott and, you know, anyone else who's directed Aliens before.
Sure. That's the best thing I can say about this movie, is it was so good, and it just stuck in your brain so deeply that you just had to become engrossed in the universe. And it's an awesome universe. I just don't think since James Cameron, nobody's had a great way of expanding on that universe. Every other way has been the most cheeky or like, I don't know.
Or jump effects like trying to get you to jump.
Or Ridley Scott's just so slow and plodding and.
Yeah. And nothing pays off.
Yeah. I mean, gorgeous. Look, his movies have looked since Aliens have probably been some of the best looking.
Right. But
we're also, you know, that was 2012 and 2016 at this point, so mm-hmm. You know, kind of hard for them not to, but I guess that's how amazing this movie was. We've spent the better part of 20 minutes talking about all the, you know, some of the sequels that have been spun off of it, but they all come back to this one was just
right.
Was genre defining.
It really so, yeah, it laid the groundwork for a lot of other movies.
Yep, for better or for worse.
Yeah.
So, you know, in line with our wrestling show, we go to the high spots. Kevin, what is your like favorite and least favorite part about this movie?
Oh man. I mean, my favorite movie is still the iconic scene of everyone at the dinner table. And all of a sudden, you know, that dude coming down with the, you know, just kind of the cough and everything like that. And realizes like it was the chest burster.
Poor Kane.
Yeah. So, I mean, just that whole scene, because once again, all this stuff that just kind of leads up to it, you know, it's just very suspenseful. You're like, oh, cool. What's going on? It's a boring space movie. And then all of a sudden that kicks in and you're like, all right, now we're getting somewhere. And it just kind of kicks off from there. So I don't know. That was one of my favorites. And just seeing how much of a badass Sigourney Weaver became in that. Because, you know, she starts off she doesn't play the role. And then she just kind of is forced into it. And I think she does a great job.
Yeah, I agree. It's especially funny because coming from a wrestling podcast, this Kane is just short and sweet. And our Kane went on for like 30 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And for those who don't know, there's a famous story about that scene. Of course, they used four cameras and they did that in one take. And the other actors didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
You know, they thought it was going to be this, like, I guess like a slow dramatic reveal of the alien. They didn't realize it was going to be so violent and it was going to be so frantic. Like, yeah. Some of them actually thought that John Hurt was having like a heart attack or something in that moment. They didn't know that he was just flailing around because he was acting. They thought something was legit wrong.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so there's that part. And then the chest burster, again, they weren't ready for it to be so like blood splattering all over the room, kind of violent. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I have to say I loved the sets. Like it's all gorgeous. Just the look of the Nostromo. The opening shot is just super gorgeous. Just the whole painting around to different corridors and then you know, the door opening and air rushing in to the kind of the cryopod place where they were all asleep.
Sleeping.
You know, the alien planet. The alien ship, seeing the space jockey, which was a mystery for 30 something years before we got Prometheus. you know, I mean, it just, the movie looked amazing. That was, and I mean, just to reiterate with Ripley, I mean, she was an awesome, awesome character that people still haven't gotten enough of. They still want Sigourney Weaver to come back. That was the big excitement with Neil Blomkamp's kind of vision for Alien was that it was going to bring like an older Ripley back, and that's what everybody wants. So
yeah,
but yeah, I just don't think it's aging well. I don't think the like I said, the sexual tension. It's not even a good sexual tension. There's just things in it
just
are
awkward
that haven't aged well. That are just super uncomfortable. And then yeah. It's sad that they haven't figured out how to do it right. So, do the alien justice. James Cameron did the best way, but I think there are different ways that it could still be successful and they just haven't figured it out yet. So, so I think that is going to bring our discussion of Alien to a close, unless you have any parting thoughts before we get out of here.
No, I mean, once again, I mean, we're going over Origins this year for 8-Bit Horror Fest, and I thought this was a great one to talk about because, I mean, as much as we kind of shit on this film, it really did open up a world to other filmmakers as well as, you know, the Alien franchise was born from this. But once again, you got The Thing, you've got other sci-fi space, like marine type movies.
Wolf, I mean,
a lot of tense, like kind of small room movies.
Yeah. And well, I mean, and we'll just kind of announce it here because I'll be putting this up probably shortly after the Alien, this episode airs. Kevin and I on Divas, Dropkicks, and Dives, we're going to be reviewing Predator.
Mm-hmm.
And Predator was pitched as Alien, but in the jungle.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, this movie did open up just a whole new set of, like you said, just film creators who were inspired by it, and then just a whole different run of movies. And I think in the Predator discussion, we'll discuss more about this connected universe and the good and the bad of them. But yeah, I mean, I'm not, again, like I said, it's not aging well. So I would say, like, watch it now before it's too late. You know, but it is an amazing, amazing film. The first time you see it, and only after you've seen it as many times as Kevin and I have, do you start to nitpick shit. But that speaks to it. We've watched this movie dozens and dozens of times.
Yeah. I grew up with all this, man. I used to rent out the horror section at Blockbuster.
Mm-hmm. So, But yeah, just make sure that you, again, probably the week that this airs, we're a little early, so I'm not sure what day that Doug and Jer and them are going to throw this up. But shortly after you listen to this one, our Predator episode should be up and ready to go.
Yeah.
And I think we'll have hopefully a lot more fun shit to talk about in that one. So, yeah, I think with that, we're going to get out of here. So, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in and listening to us. Do us a favor, though, and tune into our wrestling show where, for my benefit, we are completely 100% Xenomorph free. No Xenomorphs.
But we still have slow going storylines, unfortunately.
Yeah. A lot of plotting, a lot of
things that don't pay off.
Uncomfortable sexual tension.
I mean, that's wrestling in general, really.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. Later, nerds.